this week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in 1 Peter with, like newborn infants, royal priesthood, submission to authorities, leaving you an example, and husbands and wives. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Genesis chapter 48. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. So Joseph brought them near to him. He kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face. And behold, God has let me see your offspring also." Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his arms, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys. And in them let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." When Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he took his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, "Not this way, my father, since this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He shall become a people, and he shall also be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his offspring shall become a multitude of nations." This is the word of the Lord.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
For the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
For the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not
Small Catechism, page 324.
What is the fifth petition? What does this mean?
We pray this petition, that our Father in heaven would not hold our sins, or deny our prayer because of them. We are not even worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that you would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much, and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive, and gladly forgive those who sin against us.
What is the sixth petition?
And lead us not into temptation.
What does this mean?
God tempts no one.
The seventh petition.
Deliver us from evil.
What does this mean?
We pray this petition in summary that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, in our last hour of promise, give us the blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We come to the end of Jacob's life where his eyes become dim so that he cannot see, and that the many sufferings and temptations and testings that he has experienced have given him a true spiritual insight and eye, a complete faith and trust and love for his God. And so we can see in the life of Jacob where he has indeed come to this blessed end, where he has again seen the face of his son Joseph, and not only his face, but the faces of his children, that we can see the way that God has brought him through, the way that God has worked out to make his name holy, to cause his will to be done, to cause his kingdom to come there among Jacob, and not only for Jacob, but for all of his children, indeed Israel, and indeed, as we know, for the nation of Israel, and finally, through that one seed, the true Israel that will come from his loins. We see that as God has worked these things out to bring about his holiness, his will, his kingdom, that he does this through his daily bread, as we considered last week, and now we see that it is nevertheless, although our Lord brings us to a blessed end, that we will suffer many things, and that there are going to be in our lives, seasons of temptation, of testing, of struggle, where we indeed are caused and called by God, because of his holy word and because of his care for us, to look not at those temptations and those testings and those struggles that surround us, not to look at the outcome of the way we think things are occurring in this world, but again to be called to look to his word. And Jacob, of course, is indeed a good example of this. And so we see in Jacob's life really a living out, if you will, of these final three petitions that we consider here of the Our Father. We can see, first of all, in Jacob, how he receives the promised mercies of God, mercies that come ultimately and fundamentally through the forgiveness of sins, through the shedding of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can see how Jacob is led through many times and experiences of testing, and how he is finally delivered from every evil. First of all, let us consider how have the mercies of God been shown to Jacob through the forgiveness of sins. We can see many situations where Jacob's sins have been forgiven, even if only implicitly, and where Jacob also has forgiven the sins of others. Perhaps most poignantly, we consider the night before he meets Esau, and he sends his family before him in two different groups, if you will, so that they would avoid complete destruction if Esau encounters them in his wrath. And he is left alone to wrestle with the Lord. And there in this wrestling, we actually find the amazing statement of God, if you will, in this, that the name of Jacob will no longer be Jacob but Israel, meaning God struggles. This is to say that there is a way in which God tests himself or goes through a time of testing in the work that he accomplishes for our salvation. Jacob is the one through whom the seed will come, and so the Lord works for him. The Lord struggles for him. And the struggle, of course, is ultimately borne out on the cross, again, where we see the true Israel enduring through all testings and temptations, knowing, even in being forsaken by his father, that he can nevertheless cling to the word of his father and cling to that life that he knows his father has promised for him, and indeed the life of all who will come with him. And so we see, in a sense, that life also being shared with Jacob here during this time of struggle. For Jacob confesses after this struggle, "I have seen the face of God and lived." He has seen the face of God and lived. How can a man see the face of God and live? But only through the forgiveness of sins, only by the mercies of God, only by the struggle which God himself accomplishes and wins the victory over and against the devil, over and against the sin, over and against sin, and over and against our own flesh and the world. And so it is, we see here, that Jacob, very much just as the rest of us, are recipients of the forgiveness of sins. We see also many ways in which Jacob forgives the sins of others. Notably, we can think of his brother Esau and also his cousin Laban. We see that Jacob endures many hardships, many temptations, if you will, many testings in his servitude to Laban, where Laban tries to change his wages, where Laban tries to get the better of him, where Laban deceives him out of the one that he intended to marry. And nevertheless, even when Jacob leaves and he's pursued by Laban, when they finally come and they come together and they talk things out, at the end, what do? They eat the sacrifice of a peace offering together and they go in peace. And we see Jacob's graciousness and his mercy that he shows to Laban. Likewise also with Esau, the gifts that Jacob is ready to give to Esau. But Esau also, perhaps in receiving the forgiveness of sins, is gracious to Jacob, and they meet with a kiss and they go in peace from one another. As we consider the forgiveness of sins and the way that God forgives us through his struggle and victory over the devil, and also then calls us to forgive others, it's important, I think, at this time to recall what Luther says in the Large Catechism about this petition, where he comments on this phrase, "as we forgive." Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Luther says, this saying is not a condition. It's not as though God will only forgive us after we have forgiven others. Rather, it is that this saying acts as a sign, as that which points to the graciousness of God. This saying, as we forgive others, points us to the reality that we are forgiving others in our lives. And when we see that we live in humility and in graciousness towards others, and we forgive the sins of others, then we recognize that God has been working and continues to work in us the forgiveness of sins. The sign is so strong that Luther actually uses sacramental language when he describes it. He says, it is a sign that is as strong as the absolution, as strong as baptism, as strong as the Lord's Supper. A sign that shows us that God is at work through his struggle and victory to forgive our sins. And not only ours, but the sins of our brothers and sisters around us. And so it is that we have this sign of forgiveness at every hour, at every moment, no matter what our temptation is, when we are alone in the darkness of the night, when we are alone away from the congregation, when we don't have access to our pastor at the moment, this is a sign that as we have forgiven others, we see that God is at work forgiving your sins. This is a petition that you always have in your heart and upon your lips as a comfort and a consolation of the work that Christ is doing for you. We see then also the leading through temptation and the deliverance from evil in Jacob's own confession here, as he is blessing Ephraim and Manasseh when he says, God has shepherded him through his whole life. This shepherding, this feeding, this providing for Jacob that God has accomplished has been done in the midst of blessing and trial, in the midst of hardship and success. Regardless of what Jacob knew was going to come next. Think of the moments of loneliness, of desolation, of uncertainty of what would come ahead. When he flees from Esau having nothing. When he flees from Laban, yes, having his wives, having his family, having his livestock, but afraid and uncertain if that will all be taken with him. Or when he comes up to that point when he is about again to be reunited with Esau, not knowing if Esau will bring him to destruction. And so it is, we can see that in these moments, God has shepherded Israel, God has shepherded Jacob. And this is a sign, an example, a demonstration of the way that God will shepherd you through whatever is unknown that comes before you. Whatever it is that is uncertain, whatever concern, whatever worry or anxiety that you have, confess that anxiety, that sin, that worry to God your Father, knowing that he will shepherd you through it, that he has promised to bring you through any testing and temptation because he has given you his word, because he has given you the body of his son, because he has won the victory over the devil. Whatever it is that you may be facing in these coming weeks or months, some of you will be receiving vicarage assignments, deaconess internship assignments this evening, calls. There are many other things that all of you will be facing, though. Whatever these may be, God has you in his hand. He is your shepherd. He feeds you. He provides for you. Even when all seems to be almost lost, he is walking with you and bringing you through the difficulties. And so it is finally that you will be delivered from all evil. You will come to a blessed end. And we see this with a reward that Jacob sees finally at the end of his life. Again, a reward of being reunited with Joseph, the reward of seeing even his grandchildren, and the reward of the beginning of a great nation and much wealth that he can pass on to them. Now, these things are depicted for us in the Old Testament in earthly terms: wealth, success, happiness, a large family, and so forth. These things, of course, may not be your blessing. They may not be what you will receive in this world, but they are, in fact, a demonstration, and if you will, again, a sign of the reward that God has planned for you in his eternal kingdom, in that eternal life that he has prepared for you, again, by his struggle, by the struggle of his son, by the victory of his son, and by the rewards that he takes, the plunder that he takes from the devil, and the glorious and bountiful kingdom that becomes his, and which he shares with you. No matter what kind of an end you come to in this world, on your deathbed, and we pray that it would not be sudden or evil, but even if you do come to an end where you have nothing, where you are destitute, where it is sudden, where you are attacked by all kinds of evil, know that you have the body of Christ. Know that you have the gift of his Holy Spirit, the illumination of the washing of baptism. Know that you have that eternal promise of life and that victory, that blessed end into which God will bring you through his Son, Jesus. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonal weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads us. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank
you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my duties in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that he will flow again have the power over me.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.